It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. So how much should your workplace, your local hospital, your city, or your country mandate vaccines? With the contagious Delta variant spreading and vaccine resistance stalling progress toward wiping it out, we are now entering a new phase in the COVID era, right? And there is a vast array of responses to report, and therefore a vast array of debates breaking out. In France, have you heard this yet? President Macron has announced that starting in August, you'll have to show proof of vaccination or a negative COVID test to enter almost any public space indoors. Restaurants, movie theaters, long-distance trains, proof of vaccination or a negative test. You could say Macron is the non-Ron DeSantis. DeSantis, the governor of Florida, is prohibiting even private businesses from even voluntarily requiring proof of COVID status if they choose to for customers or employees. Macron is requiring them to do it nationwide in France. There was a big protest in France last weekend, we should say, that included both the left and the right. The Trumpy Le Pen movement and the Green Party both took to the streets to protest Macron's proof of vaccine or negative test rules. Back in this country, San Francisco is requiring all city employees to be vaccinated, except for religious and medical exemptions. San Francisco is also urging private employers to require vaccines for their workers, too. It's a big debate right now in the big Silicon Valley tech companies. By contrast, Mayor de Blasio in New York this week ordered something much less. Only workers at public hospitals will have to show proof of vaccines or show a negative COVID test once a week. No requirement or even encouragement for private employers, like in San Francisco, and nothing so far about other city workers, even though the NYPD acknowledged this week that less than half of police officers have gotten the vaccine. So far, they don't have to, but they may still get in your face. And the mayor is still planning his 60,000-person Central Park reopening concert for next month. We'll talk to Mayor de Blasio about New York City's evolving vaccination policy in our Ask the Mayor call-in after the 11 o'clock news this morning. Then there are private hospitals. The big Catholic healthcare system, Trinity Health, with hospitals in 22 states, is requiring vaccinations of workers, according to the New York Times. In New York City, New York Presbyterian and NYU Langone are among those that are imposing vaccine mandates. Hundreds of New York Presbyterian workers protested that outside the hospital yesterday, led by their union, 1199, healthcare workers against vaccine requirements. Then there's the education sector. Many colleges are requiring vaccines to return to campus in person this fall. But then you have states like Florida and some others where colleges are not even allowed to choose to do that. I looked at the New York Times page this morning for biggest outbreaks among college campuses, and yep, the University of Florida was number one. Now, this is all part of the latest phase of the complicated pandemic era, as the U.S. is in what's being called the fourth COVID surge because of the Delta variant. If this is what's happening in the summer, who knows what will happen when the weather gets cold and more people move indoors for more things. So with us now are two New York Times reporters covering aspects of these developments, and we'll invite your calls in a minute. Our guests are Reed Abelson, who covers the business of healthcare for the Times. Her most recent article is called "More Hospitals Are Requiring Workers to Get COVID Vaccines." And we have Roger Cohen, the Times Paris bureau chief, whose latest article is called "Macron to the French, Vaccinate or Else." Roger and Reed, thanks very much for coming on WNYC today. Hello.
Hi, Brian.
Thank you.
Reed, your article has a startling and revealing statistic that we'll start with. 96% of doctors are vaccinated. Other healthcare workers, maybe 60%. Why such a difference within the medical profession?
Well, it's interesting. I think it's because the hospital workers really are a spectrum of people with different educational backgrounds, where they live, how much they're influenced by their communities. I was surprised You know, and it doesn't, it isn't always tracking the way you think. I mean, University of Iowa hospitals has nearly, you know, really high percentage of folks vaccinated, but you know, you go to Florida and it's really pretty grim.
At the beginning of the pandemic, you know, we did many segments about healthcare workers protesting the lack of protection that their hospitals were giving them, like not enough PPEs. Maybe you covered that too. Now the best protection is available, and the protests are against having to use it. Are these the same people who protested lack of protection now protesting mandatory vaccines?
Well, some of them are, but I think, I mean, actually, if you look at Houston Methodist, where they did do a mandate, I mean, the vast majority of their workforce, I mean, tens of thousands of people got vaccinated, and there were only about 150 that left. So I think, you know, it's a very, what I'm hearing is, at least in some places, is a very vocal minority, but there is an expectation, especially as you increase the pressure through a mandate, that more healthcare workers will comply.
Roger Cohen in Paris, tell us more about President Macron's new mandate. How sweeping is it?
Well, it's pretty sweeping, Brian. I mean, he's taken the lead in Europe in going quite a long way toward mandating vaccination. He hasn't actually done that, but what he said to the French on July 12 was, your life's going to be pretty miserable if you don't do it, because you won't, and it's high summer here, vacation season, you won't have access to restaurants, cafes, bars, you won't be able to travel any distance to speak of on trains or planes. You need to get what is being called here a health pass. In Italy, it's being called a green pass, which shows that you have been vaccinated or that you were tested in the previous 48 hours, or your life will be extremely curtailed. Now, this, of course, poses questions about how far you can go in trying to curtail the Delta variant if you're also, on the face of it, maybe curtailing basic personal freedoms.
I noticed your article said the requirement would apply to traveling on long-distance trains. What about subways and other local mass transit?
No, that is not... That is not covered. And you may ask, well, what's the logic of that? Well, I think we've all learned during this pandemic that quite often there's not a lot of logic to a lot of things. But no, it was specifically trains, planes, longer distance travel.
And can you describe the protests against the new policy and what the heck the Green Party and the right-wing pro-Trump Le Pen movement are doing on the same side of this?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's so much the Green Party, there's some of that, as more the extreme left, the France Unbowed party of Mr. Mélenchon and Marine Le Pen's far right party that have protested. I mean, they've protested on a couple of levels. One is that this is chaotic, and the second level is about freedoms, which may be quite ironic coming from Marine Le Pen's party. So it's a sort of a continuation of the Yellow Vest movement of 2018 in some ways, in the sense that it's anti-elite, it's anti-big pharma, big business. There's a lot of conspiracy theories. People question the vaccine's efficacy, but they also question how serious COVID really is. There's a feeling that among these protesters that the elites of the world have banded together and pulled a fast one on the people. And of course, you know, that echoes things you heard with Donald Trump in office in the United States and still hear from, you know, wide segments of the American population, notably in Florida, as you just said.
Listeners, help us report this story or ask a question if you'd like to. Do you work at a hospital or other healthcare facility? Are you for or against vaccine mandates there? 646-435-7280. Anyone listening in San Francisco today? I know it's early. Where the city government is requiring all city workers to get vaccinated. San Francisco has been ahead of New York on almost every aspect of COVID prevention, and the rates of infection have been consistently lower. But is there a backlash there too? San Francisco, tell us how you're doing. 646-435-7280. Anyone listening in France right now, or anyone in the U.S. who has ties to France? What do you think about Macron's national mandate, even for customers going into cafes and such? Are you pro-Macron on this or pro-protesters? 646-435-7280. And listeners, back in this country, remember in the early spring when COVID cases were falling rather than rising as they are now, and the first music venues and sports arenas were opening up with vaccine or negative test proof requirements. That didn't last long. And now here we are with anybody can do anything. People thought it was over, but it's not. Are you going to concerts and movies and anything else indoors with no vaccine requirements, listeners? Did you start doing that, but you stopped? Do you just want to be left alone to take your chances of getting it or spreading it, or what? So from Staten Island to San Francisco to the Champs-Élysées, give us a call, 646-435-7280, 646-435-7280, or tweet your question or comment at Brian Lehrer with Reed Abelson from the New York Times, who covers the business of health, and Roger Cohen, who covers Paris and Europe. Reed, one of the interesting things to me in your article about U.S. hospitals is about staffing shortages at a growing number of hospitals and the tensions around how to prevent that. Some hospitals are becoming short of staff because so many unvaccinated healthcare workers are getting COVID.
Yes, that seems to be the case in some areas. That was the true of the Jacksonville hospital. And I thought there was just palpable frustration. I mean, not only were they seeing cases rise, right? They had more cases than they did in January, so that they were surpassing the last peak. But suddenly, you know, 75 workers were out sick and more were being tested. And, you know, as the administrator there said, you know, we know that vaccines could help. And so I think that that dynamic is really troubling. But on the flip side, you have, you know, other hospitals saying we can't do a mandate because if we do, our healthcare workers will just, you know, go across the street to a hospital that doesn't have the mandate. So in some places, state hospital associations communities are basically trying to have everybody do the same thing so that you don't have to worry about losing workers.
Roger, people who know your body of work know you're a big thinker on Europe and history, and you place the vaccine mandate question in your article in the context of the eternal tension in France between its Jacobin state-directed instincts and its Enlightenment embodiment of freedom. Can you describe that tension in a little more detail?
Well, France has a very centralized system of government that survived the revolution. It went on from the monarchy to Napoleon, who really centralized the French state, set down the French legal code, set up the system of prefects. And there's been a very top-down aspect to French politics all the way through to the Fifth Republic, which was founded in 1958. And of course, de Gaulle, for many years, was the personification of that. At the same time, it's the land of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, the land of personal liberties, the land that said, no, feudal rule is not for us anymore. Individuals have rights, responsibilities, and freedom. So that tension is here in the society, and it's playing out in some ways now. President Macron took a pretty bold top-down decision because I think he's got an election coming up in April, and he was facing the possibility of a fourth wave in the fall and the economy going again into a nosedive and a fourth lockdown. I got here in December, and the first 6 months, there was a curfew at either 6 or 7 in the evening. It wasn't Paris in fun mode by any means. So he wanted to act. He acted. And there was a tremendous response. There were 3.5 million requests for vaccine appointments in the week after he spoke. And vaccination rates went up from 120,000 a day or something to 900,000 a day at one point. So it was effective. But just this week, you had Claire Aidon, who France has a government-appointed sort of human rights ombudsman, and Ms. Aidon is that person. And she warned this week that the Parliament, which has been debating Macron's measures, was acting with unjustifiable haste, given the extent of the blow to fundamental rights and liberties that is foreseen, quote unquote. And she was particularly disturbed by the notion that police powers of some kind are going to be granted to restaurants, cafes, and bars, because they will either face a big fine if they don't do it, or they will have to ask anyone coming in to show this health pass, and then they have to police that in some way. So there are a lot of open questions, and you try putting a French person between him or her and a good meal, and see how that plays out. So I think we could be headed into, let's say, a fairly lively summer.
Reed, would you compare the United States political culture by comparison to what Roger was just describing over there? And with respect to the story that Roger was just telling about turning cafe maitre d's into police officers and stuff. I mean, we had that in the U.S. for a few minutes. We did segments on this show when restaurants, music venues, stadiums were first opening up with vaccine or negative test proof requirements. And we talked to venue owners who were saying, yeah, we're turning some people away. I went to a Yankee game where when that was in place, and the person ahead of me online was turned away because they couldn't match their vaccine pass with a picture ID. So they started doing that in this country. But how would you compare the political culture in the U.S. to what Roger just described in France with respect to these things?
Well, it's interesting because I think, again, I looked at at least the parallel with the flu vaccine, right? At least in terms of mandates in hospitals. And after sort of an initial resistance, everyone sort of accepted it. I mean, again, the idea here would be that healthcare workers are different than, somebody going into a cafe, that they have a special responsibility. And I think some of the outrage here is that, that there's no distinction among, different roles that people play. So I find that interesting. And the other thing that what I kept hearing from the hospital administrators was sort of how persistent some of the misinformation is. I mean, even among their workers, that there's such a fundamental lack of trust of institutions, which, may or may not be American, but that has certainly grown and sort of been fostered so that people, don't trust any entity, including, their employer. They may trust a colleague. They may trust a boss. But it is very interesting. And I was shocked at how difficult it was for the people trying to convince people to get vaccinated to overcome, even the most wild conspiracy theories.
We're going to take a short break and then continue with Reed Abelson in the United States from the New York Times, Roger Cohen in Paris from the New York Times, and we'll start taking your calls. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, as we talk about the very wide array of vaccine mandates or not, breaking out in hospital systems, in cities for their entire municipal workforces in countries, mostly in Europe, for entering cafes and restaurants and trains and anything else. So in New York on any of those spectra. We'll talk to Mayor de Blasio about that next hour. Our guests are Reed Abelson, who covers the business of healthcare in the United States for the New York Times, and Roger Cohen, the Times Paris bureau chief. Roger, just before we go to the phones, we're talking about France, but is this kind of Europe-wide? Is this happening in other countries too? You mentioned Italy briefly a moment ago.
Yeah, Mario Draghi, the Italian prime minister, Thursday announced very similar measures to the French. In Italy, you're going to have to get, they call it a green pass. And without that green pass, similarly, you won't be admitted indoors to restaurants, cafes. It's a little more limited than the French. It doesn't apply, I think, to travel. But it is following a similar path. And Draghi was, in announcing this, used very strong language. He said, the appeal to not getting vaccinated is an appeal to die. In other words, if you don't get vaccinated, anybody telling you not to get vaccinated is telling you to die. I mean, that, those are strong words.
Yeah.
And he also warned that, you know, if you don't get vaccinated, you could, other people's lives could be affected. But in Britain, Brian, of course, it, you know, where the vaccination rate is higher, closer to 70% than around 60% elsewhere in Europe, Boris Johnson is going in a kind of Ron DeSantis direction. I mean, even though the Delta variant is surging in Britain the way it is in France, he announced so-called Freedom Day on Monday this week, removing a lot of internal restrictions, and in effect saying, we're going to take our chances. We're pretty well vaccinated. The number of the cases rising exponentially, yes, but not the number of deaths. COVID's with us, it ain't going away, and we're going to take our chances. So you have a pretty wide spectrum of approaches here, as you do between different states within the United States.
Andrea in White Plains, you're on WNYC. Andrea, thank you so much for calling in.
Hi, can you hear me?
Can hear just fine.
Oh, well, so I work at a big hospital in the Bronx, and I am an RN. I did contact tracing that just really stopped about a month ago. And I'm horrified as an RN that our vaccination rate is so low. And you look around at places like Florida and Alabama, all these people are putting the rest of us at risk. And you always hear about, I mean, I don't want to, it's been completely politicized and it's been, you know, turned into kind of this crazy religious, not religious, you know, there's so many complexities about why people don't get vaccines. And I understand that, but I have no problem with what Macron is doing. I have no problem with de Blasio saying that all of the hospitals, employees at New York hospitals have to get vaccinated. There's no way to stop this without the vaccine. There's just not. You have to get it. And, you know, you look at past epidemics like 1918, and you look at what New York City has done before. We were like in the forefront of getting people vaccinated, and now it's turned into this like craziness that people, you know, they're saying, I care about the country and we want to get back to normal. Well, literally it's easy as going and getting a vaccine that's free. So yeah, I'm kind of angry.
Andrea, can I ask you a question? At the hospital where you work, are other vaccines required?
You know, that's a good question. I don't think so, but, you know, they don't impact people. You know what I mean? Like, are you asking if, well, actually, that's not true. As an RN, yeah, I had to get all my, you have to get titers to make sure that you've had, like, the vaccines that you've had in the past, like hepatitis, so you're not spreading that to patients or your colleagues. right?
Yeah.
We're visitors. So, yeah, you do.
Yeah, that's what I thought. How about annual flu vaccines in your
Absolutely.
Hospital?
And it's free. Like, you just can go sign up and get it. They tell you, I want to say a few weeks in advance, and there's a sign-up sheet. You know, it takes 5 minutes. You go get jabbed. It's not a big deal.
Andrea, thank you so much for your call. And Reed Abelson, what about that in national context? I have a friend at one of the big hospitals in New York who said the policy there for flu vaccines is you have to get it every year or wear a mask at all time when you're on the premises. That might make COVID vaccine advocates roll their eyes, like a mask is not the same thing as a vaccine. But what's, based on your reporting, the national picture of other vaccine requirements for workers in hospitals?
So a lot of places require the flu vaccine. And so there is a sense that, you know, again, that was met initially with resistance, but that will eventually be actually the status quo. I think what's interesting about what New York City seems to be doing, and it's the same thing, which is if you don't get vaccinated, you have to be tested constantly. And what they're counting on is that a lot of folks will just say, okay, fine, I'm going to be vaccinated. It's easier. It's less hassle. And I think so some places, even if they don't put in a mandate, may make it sort of so cumbersome not to be vaccinated that a lot of people will end up being vaccinated.
Bill in Rego Park, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Brian. I'd like to ask your guests what the rationale is, or perhaps the legal justification in the United States for a religious exemption from vaccine mandates, or worse yet, in my opinion, from being tested. To put the matter pretty clearly, why should someone's subjective religious beliefs jeopardize my right to a very objective life?
Jeopardize the public health. Reed, you mentioned in your article that the big Catholic healthcare system, Trinity, which has facilities in 22 states, is mandating the vaccine. So do you happen to know what are the particular religions that object to vaccines on religious grounds and how people file for those exemptions?
So I don't know about the specific religions. What I've been told is that in general, anyone seeking either a religious / ethical or medical exemption has to go through a fairly rigorous process. You have to have one-on-one counseling and education. And so at the end of the day, I think, for you know, we're talking usually just a percentage or two of the total workforce. And I don't know whether, to be honest, it's the hospitals have granted these exceptions because there are always exceptions, or whether they think, you know, it's better to have some sort of safety valve, so to speak, so that at least some people who would otherwise either legitimately not really need exemptions sort of are handled.
Maria in Midtown, you're on WNYC. Hi, Maria.
Good morning, everyone. I dined yesterday afternoon at an upscale Midtown restaurant, which I'm not going to name, and I'm not going to do a Yelp review. I dine there often. I know the staff very well, and they just reopened for lunch. So the server, the bartender, as I was sitting at the bar, had served me beverages, food, et cetera, et cetera. She was fully masked but cutting up fruit, et cetera. She was wearing gloves, but she was coughing. And I just assumed foolishly that she probably was vaccinated. I know that the mandate, it's not mandated for restaurant workers to be vaxxed. I personally have been fully vaxxed since March, but she was coughing and so on. And after I paid my bill, I said, you know, have you been vaxxed? And she said, no, I can't get a vaccine because I have a cold. And so I was horrified, just completely horrified. I found it inexcusable that she would come to work with an active cold. B, it's none of my business whether she's vaxxed or not, but I want to know if and when there's going to be mandatory vaccination for food servers, especially when they're coming within 2 feet of one, oneself. And then I spoke with the management who came outside, and they know me again. And this is an upscale restaurant with many, many, many hundreds of brands and names and so on. The manager did explain that the girl was tested last week and tested negative. So the pieces of this puzzle are not making sense, and I'm pretty horrified, and I'm going to go for a check on my antibodies today and get a rapid test. I'm just wondering if there's any, Ms. Abelson, if you know of anything down the pike in terms of New York City health and vaccinations. How would you feel?
You'd feel comfortable in Macron's France, obviously.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask the mayor that very question when he's on next hour. Why are you not considering the kind of thing, because of stories like Maria's for New York, that they're about to implement in France? Reid, how would you answer her question?
So I don't know how I feel. I do think watching the hospitals as sort of a first indicator is that my sense is that there will be increasingly calls for mandates and things like mandates and requirements that, workers stay home if they're sick will start becoming more prevalent. I mean, I think we've been slow to react, but for example, the American Hospital Association just came out and said, yes, we favor mandates. I mean, I think this is a process, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see much more restrictive, but probably community by community.
How much, Roger, is this pure politics on the part of Macron in the French context? You do kind of put it in that context in your article, noting that his popularity has waxed and waned, and he's up for re-election in something like 9 months.
Well, Brian, I think there's some politics. This is we're within 9 months, as you just said, of the election, and as I think I mentioned earlier, if there was a big fourth wave, that would definitely affect his chances of being re-elected adversely. And the last two French presidents, François Hollande and Nicolas Sarkozy, neither of them was re-elected. So there is that. But I think there's also just a still pretty critical health situation, where you have about 60% of the population with at least one vaccination. You had 22,000 cases in the last 24 hours. That was the highest number since early May. And the fall is only 2-3 months away. So I think he felt that he had to act. I think people generally, though, are just very confused and feel ricocheted, buffeted this way and that, be it in Europe or the United States. They don't know quite what to make of numbers. Okay, the number of cases is way up. The number of deaths is way down.
Mm-hmm.
The number of deaths is way down. How, today, with all we now know about it, even with the variant, just how dangerous, mortally dangerous, is COVID? What should we compare it with? Should we compare it with some deadly disease, or should we compare it with other illnesses that we live with? So I think there's a lot of confusion and doubt out there, and then there is this big freedom issue which we've talked about, and I mentioned the French Defender of Rights and what she had to say, but nobody, I think, or not many people, think there should be a freedom to put other people's lives at risk. So these are very complicated, complicated issues. And you have San Francisco going one way, Florida going another. Here you have Britain going one way, France going another. We will see.
We will see. Reid Abelson and Roger Cohen from the New York Times, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Brian.